Let us now pray with Jesus, Psalm 101. And just before I begin to pray the psalm with you, I want to note frequently throughout the Psalms, God is addressed as Yahweh. And when that happens, as you see here throughout this psalm, I've noted that by having a G-O-D in uppercase. And the importance of noticing that behind the uppercase Jesus stands the word Yahweh is that that adds to the general word for God, that adds a memory. That takes us back each time to the burning bush, to Moses, to God asking Moses to go back to Egypt and redeem the people. So Yahweh is a historical word for the encounter with God that goes right back to the beginning of the faith of Israel. In future psalms, sometimes we simply have translated the capital G with the ordinary lowercase od, the equivalent of our God. And when you see that, what you're looking at is behind it is the Semitic word El, or more often, the particularly Hebrew word Elohim. So it's quite properly translated simply God. Rarely, but a few times, God is addressed as Adonai, which means Lord. And when that happens, you'll see the way I've written it is the ordinary word God with an asterisk next to it. And I'll note that when we first come across it. So now in a psalm where God is constantly addressed as Yahweh, our God, the God of the Exodus. I'll simply read the psalm to you now and then comment on it. The psalmist writes, and please try to imagine Jesus praying it, I sing of covenant love and right judgment. To you, O God, Yahweh, I make music. I live the truth I sing as I come before you. I show my royal household how to live a perfect life. It's imagined that the king is reading this or praying this. I do not admire anything dishonorable. I hate the ways of the wicked. They will never attach themselves to me. Perverseness of heart will be far from me. I want nothing to do with evil. I silence anyone who secretly slanders a neighbor. I do not tolerate a haughty look or an arrogant heart. I look with favor on the faithful in the land. Only they will share my palace. Only those whose lives are upright have a place in my service. No one who practices fraud shall remain in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue in my presence. Morning by morning, I put down the wicked in the land, excluding all who do evil from the city of God. And now let's unpack that simple psalm. The king is promising God to govern with justice. Psalm 99 acknowledges God as a God of justice. And I quote, Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You've executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Psalm 100 celebrates the fact that God's justice is everlasting. And I quote, God is good. God's covenant love endures forever. God's faithfulness to all generations. Here in Psalm 101, the psalmist declares that this exercise of justice is realized through the governing of the king. Verse 1 again, I sing, says the king, of covenant love and right judgment. So verse 1 speaks of right judgment when it's founded on covenant love. This is the way a ruler in Israel is expected to judge. I'll read to you from various other books that capture the same basic idea. Proverbs 20, loving kindness and faithfulness preserve the king, and his throne is upheld by covenant love. Chesed in Hebrew, a commitment to love. Micah, the prophet, chapter 6, what does God require of you but to make right judgments, to be committed to covenant love, and to walk humbly with your God? The book of Wisdom, the 12th chapter. Although you are sovereign in strength, you judge with fairness, and with great forbearance you govern us. For you have power to act whenever you choose. Through such works you've taught your people that the righteous must be kind. The Greek word used there for fairness is epieikeia. And that Greek word is a basic quality expected of a person who pronounces judgment. Epieikeia is the wise application of the law by a judge who takes all circumstances into consideration and exercises justice with compassion and loving kindness. So anyone in legal authority is encouraged to practice this fairness. In the New Testament, the Greek epieikeia is translated as gentle. Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 3, be gentle, show every courtesy to everyone. And the letter of James, chapter 3, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. In verses 3 to 5, and again in verses 7 to 8, the king promises to rid the government of anyone who is not committed to the covenant love that is the foundation of justice. I'll read you those verses again. I, says the king, I do not admire anything dishonorable. I hate the ways of the wicked. They'll never attach themselves to me. Perverseness of heart will be far from me. I want nothing to do with evil. I silence anyone who secretly slanders a neighbor. I do not tolerate a haughty look or an arrogant heart. No one, promises the king, speaking to God, no one who practices fraud shall remain in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue in my presence. Morning by morning, I put down the wicked in the land, excluding all who do evil from the city of God. In verse 6, the psalmist describes the qualities he expects of those who share his power. And he prays, "I look with favour on the faithful in the land. Only they will share my palace. Only those whose lives are upright have a place in my service." I think you'll agree with me that Psalm 101 is an excellent psalm for anyone who exercises power in the community, both in the church and in the state. As we pray it with Jesus, we hear Jesus say, and this is from Matthew chapter 11, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." Paul appeals to the Corinthians in Corinth by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And Paul lists gentleness among the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, he appeals to the Gentile Christians to be humble, gentle, and patient. And to the Christians of Philippi, "Let your gentleness be known to everyone." So as we pray this psalm with Jesus, let us pray to share his gentleness, especially in our judgments.